All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey everybody, welcome to our podcast. I'm Greg.
And I'm Penny.
And this is The Extraordinary Cast, a podcast dedicated to the Hulu and Disney Plus series Extraordinary, created by Emma Moran.
In this episode, we're covering Season 2, Episode 6, Gen V Nora, The Ultimate Showdown, written by Emma Moran and directed by Jennifer Sheridan.
Okay, so like I thought, you know, I was much happier with this episode than we have been in recent days. As far as a recap goes, the Hulu version, Jen and Nora's rivalry intensifies. Jizz faces a tough choice. Carrie jumps through hoops. Thank you very much, Hulu, for that in-depth explanation.
Yeah, at least there's no spoilers in it.
I mean, that's true. That's very true. Full version. In an attempt to convince Jizz that she's not a chaos goblin, Jen makes every effort to be a polite, well-adjusted young lady for Alfie's beige birthday party. Nora sabotages Jen's efforts, and the conflict comes to a head when Nora forces Jizz to choose between her and Alfie, and Jen. When he chooses Alfie, not necessarily Nora, a devastated Jen seeks comfort with George, her brain therapist. When Jizz discovers that Alfie isn't his son and Nora has a public meltdown, he gleefully returns to Jen. Meanwhile, in an effort to prove her support for Cash's new gay relationship, Carrie plans a surprise celebration, pushing Cash into coming out to his friends, which unfortunately goes well. Cash returns the favor by forcing Carrie to express her own wants and needs. All right, how'd you like this one?
I think I actually said, "Now we're talking," about halfway through the episode, because I felt like it was finally starting to live up to season one. I liked Meet the Parent. I thought Meet the Parent last week was pretty good, but this was even better. And I'm now excited for episodes 7 and 8. So all around good. How about you?
I feel you. My giant note is finally a return to form. I very much enjoyed this one. Besides the fact that it kind of hit all of the things that I've been talking about wanting, like the Jen and Nora issues, the relationships between people, and it hit all that stuff. And Nora is such a great bad guy, and it's always great to see villains be brought low, especially by their own machinations. I thought this was great. It was a great, the fact that it didn't happen in the final episode of the season is nice, and we've got a couple more, and so it's like, okay, well, now we're done with that storyline, and so we can move on and look for the recovery, and recovery we shall need, because of some actions towards the end of the episode.
Somebody made some really bad decisions.
I mean, you know, with what Jen had mentioned was...
I don't mean Jen. I mean fucking George.
Well, I would say both of them.
He's a scuzz bucket. Sorry.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. But before we get into that, we'll go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll get into our plot lines, and we'll do what we got to do. All right. Well, we are back, and we'll go ahead and get into our plot points. Penny, you want to start us off?
Sure. So Jen decides after last week, when Nora was convincing Jizz Lord that Jen was, you know, kind of chaotic, a little bit of a mess, and Jiz was making that list of pros and cons. Jen is trying to present herself in a very particular way and not rise to the bait when Nora is clearly baiting her. I thought the macaron scene was pretty cute because they are absolutely impossible to make, and I've never really, I'm just not a precise person, and I've never been able to make something like that. And when she was like, "Oh, you're gays. Do you know how to make macarons?" And Clark is like, "I do, actually." I was like, that went past an offensive stereotype and like went around the corner and back and doubled up back on itself and was funny again. Like, there was something about it that was charming. And I feel like that's generational. Like, I feel like if I said that to somebody my age, they'd be like, like, what's wrong with you? But, like, Gen Z, and they're all so fluid with gender identity and sexual identity that they can make those kind of jokes with each other. I don't know. I liked it a lot.
I would agree.
Yeah. Nora was clearly showing the signs of stress, playing fast and loose with her power and the mute function, as it were. When I was a baby lawyer, there was a story that the older associates would tell the junior lawyers about conference calls and how you had to be really careful with the mute button. So the sort of general etiquette on a conference call, if you're on a speakerphone especially, is to mute yourself when the other side is talking and you're on mute. And that also gives you an opportunity to talk amongst yourselves if you're in a conference room. And sure. I've been in so many situations where the mute button is on, off, on, off, on, off, so people can make their comments. And there's this story that the senior associates would tell of a time when somebody got that wrong and it was not muted and they said, like, secret client information. And so it was like this scary story that they told junior associates to, like, be careful about the mute button. And so my entire legal career, I was always, like, keeping my eye on the little red light that says that the mute button is on. I was like super careful about it. I don't know if it's a true story or some kind of law department or law firm urban legend, but that's all I could think about with Nora. And when it started to go wrong, I was like, oh, that is happening. Cause like at the party two episodes ago, when she was sometimes telling the whole room something, sometimes just Jen's, you know, like, playing with that back and forth, I was like, how does she keep it all straight in her head? Like, that seems like it would be so confusing. And we see what happened. It's like, eventually it broke down and she was doing the quiet part out loud and with hilarious results. And I couldn't be happier that she embarrassed herself.
The meltdown ended up being phenomenal.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten sugar in 15 years. Fuck, that's good. the European idiom of using the "see you next Tuesday" word was like, even if it was bleeps, you could read her lips very easily.
It took me a minute to realize why it was bleeped. I was like, why are they bleeping? They've never bleeped before. And then I remembered that that's Chris's power.
Right.
That bleeps. No,
absolutely. I was just like, that's really, really funny. But like, I mean, yeah, no, I thought the meltdown was phenomenal. And I thought that the actress did a phenomenal job in portraying that, like her centering her chi and visualizing the downfall of her enemy in the cold open. And like, hey, I'm doing yoga and I'm just picturing how horribly this is going to go for Jen. Having said that, Nora, we've seen, is very practiced at the thing. And as we talked about, at the book meeting or at the book launch, Jen had started to let it lie. But then she like pointed it out. Like, oh, hey, aren't you upset that I, about all your sicky books? Mm-hmm. I mean, and here, Nora does the exact same thing. It's almost like a get out of jail free card for Jen. It's a make a scene, yell at me. Oh, no, I can't. Now that you say that out loud, I recognize I can't do that. But here, I mean, stop titting my macarons was one of my favorite lines of the episode. But like, I just thought it was very out of character for Nora to be like to give Jin that ammo. I'm not going to say sloppy writing. I just, it's kind of like treating the audience, making the audience be too dumb. Or at least not treating us like we are smart enough to figure it out. Like, we know that's what's happening. You don't need to say it. But again, I just felt like it was slightly out of character. But not like Jin keeps her cool. I'm impenetrable. No, that's what Rob thinks.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm
that
right.
Was so mean.
Yeah.
I don't really understand why they hadn't had sex yet. Just based on Jen's general approach to men and sex, I found it surprising that she and Gislord had not had sex yet.
I was trying to figure out what the answer to Carrie's question of why are you sleeping back in the bath again? I would have loved to have gotten that answer.
Yeah, I mean, because I assumed at that point that Jiz had pulled back from Jen in order, because he was like confused and dealing with all this new information. And so he was like, I'm not ready for us to have sex. I'll just go sleep in the tub. But then when Jen was like, we're going to have sex, he was like, I'm on a roll. So I was like, oh, then he wanted to have sex all along. So why weren't they having sex? Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but it's.
I mean, and Jin may also be dealing with a bunch of things between her power and her family. And then obviously Nora and Jiz and all that. I did appreciate the fact that we got the origin story of Jiz turning into a cat. You got cucked so hard you turned into a cat. Like, I was like, well, all right. It's funny. I had an issue with the other thing, saying it out loud so that, you know, but this, I'm like, oh, you know what? Hey, you said it. It was quick. It was bam, bam. Thank you, ma'am. And we're done. And we, okay, now we know the story. We get it. And all right, cool. And then
can we piece together the timeline though? So I thought that Rob had been missing for 4 years.
Yep.
Alfie is turning 7. So then Nora and Chris had been having an affair for years before they got caught. Okay, so we're all on the same page.
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, they started the affair and he realized it. It was definitely, this has been going on for a long time. And so, yes, yes, we are on the same page.
Okay. So when Rob disappeared and had been gone for a significant amount of time, why didn't Chris and Nora just get together?
My guess would be Nora.
Well, yeah, but like, why?
Because
she couldn't make that part of her aesthetic?
I mean, I guess not. I mean, it's also like Chris isn't a ginger. I mean, she had to have known that, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's not like you're fucking someone for a number of years and you're like, by the way, I know you don't like penis jokes, but that was a giant dick. Like, that was a huge dick.
Well, it was also a huge penis joke. It's not that I don't like penis jokes. I just think that often they are lazy. This one was funny.
I mean, and the like, all of the mothers staring, or all of the other women staring at it, and like, ooh, like, and maybe
gawking.
You got different view. Yeah, maybe you got a different like version of that and of what they were thinking in your head. But I got a very much a whoa, that's impressive vibe.
I don't know if that's what
from at least one of them. From at least
maybe
one, from the, I think
maybe
it was the
one
blonde.
Of them. Yeah, but I it's not all penis jokes. It's when the entire joke is penis. Like when that's the punchline. It's just think it's lame. But like using a penis in a joke, and when it's funny or moves the story forward, like that's great. But like the Halloween episode, it was just like, ha ha, it's an inflatable penis, ha ha. Like that was the whole joke, and it just.
Right. Well, so like forgetting Sarah Marshall, right? Mm-hmm. So when Jason Segel drops his towel and it's full frontal, and it's not like sexy full frontal.
Yeah,
it's not
that's hilarious.
Appealing. I laughed so hard at that. Yeah. And this, like, I watched that years after starting to be on a submarine, and you know, I've seen many penises in my time. You don't shy away from it. You just go, okay, well, there's a penis. All right, cool.
Yeah, whatever. No, the context matters.
Yeah, it absolutely does. I completely agree. And I thought this was hysterical. And like I said, I feel like the reactions from some of the mums were, you know, made it even funnier. Yeah, Nora, I mean, it took me a while when she said, "Shut the fuck up, Chris." I went back and when I watched it again, I heard her like saying all of the things she was trying to say out loud in her head.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. Like this is funny. Cause I mean, just the same way that a few episodes ago, we first found out about her power, where she was talking to Jizzlord and we're like, what the fuck is happening? Like, that just reminds me of the joke, am I in an LGBTQ plus stroke?
Yeah. Like,
I thought that was a great line. But yeah, the fact that, Alfie is not Jizz's kid, that's great. So I feel like this episode really wrapped up this storyline and gave Nora her just desserts in a nice big bow.
Yeah.
And hey, we are good to go. We are all done.
I agree. The one thing is, I can't get over how fucked up she is as a parent to this poor kid. Like, I know Jizz is not his father. It's Chris's problem to solve. But I still have a little bit of affection for this kid, even though he's like, I like money. And I'm like, oh my God, she made him dye his hair. She's lied to him for years about who his father is. Like, she's clearly a horrible person. Manipulative, cold, calculating, unfeeling. She's admitted she doesn't, like, love the kid. And I can't let go of it. I'm like, that poor kid, we should rescue the kid. Is there going to be a story where we rescue the kid? Like, I can't get past it yet.
I'm hoping that, you know, despite how poor of a father he may be, which, I mean, like, I absolutely picked up on it from the very beginning, right? As soon as you saw Chris, he's like, oh, yeah. A bike and some saving bonds for when he goes to university. I was like, okay, like at least he thinks he's his kid, because he's treating him this way. I felt like it was nice.
That didn't flag to me at all, because I was like, if my best friend disappeared and left a kid behind, I would probably start doting on that kid.
I agree. I would do the same thing, except that taking the position of father to the child, like, unless you are getting something, like, unless you feel some sort of obligation to the child and the mother, like, I feel like there's maybe this gave me a very significant Shane Lorre vibe from Walking Dead. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like the father's there and he's treating the child like he's his own.
Relationship, I guess, because like there are definitely people in my life whose kids I would consider myself an auntie of, even though I'm not actually related, and if they're one of their parents disappeared, I would want to try to, you know, give them more attention, and I don't know that their spouse, beyond being like friendly with them, I don't know. I guess it's very situational.
Right. Again, just my opinion. Like, I absolutely picked up on it was very much a, hey, this is a father that hasn't been able to be a father for a while.
Yeah. Whereas Jizz got him crinkly paper, hair ties, caps of bottles.
Yeah.
Hours of fun.
And then, oh, well, what is it that you like? Money. All right, great. What do you like to play with? Money. Very well. Yeah, no, I hear you. I feel bad for this kid. But hopefully Chris, you know, takes him on and, you know, does what he needs to and drops Nora. Cause as much as I wasn't a huge fan of Chris, like I feel like he deserves better than Nora.
Yeah.
But I mean, anybody deserves better than Nora, but
she is a piece of work.
Yeah.
Oh, their beige house. Precisely what I was going to say. Beige everything. Even her kid at his birthday party was wearing like a beige puffy vest. Yeah.
oh, Nora, I love the beige. You hate beige. Yeah. Shut up. Or shush. All right. So I think that any notes on Jen and Nora and Chris?
No.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to Cash and Clark.
Yeah.
First off, I felt that Cash and Clark in the beginning of this episode were super cute. Like when they were like tickling each other and
yeah, cuddling and all that. And yeah, singing. Yeah,
was,
cute.
Like I thought they were super cute.
I thought, why aren't they hanging out at Clark's where he lives alone rather than at Carrie's that she pays for and where she's going to have to like see them to get like Cash should have known that that would be uncomfortable for her.
So while I have talked about them writing Cash as a bigger dummy than they have in the past, I think at this point, I think this actually does make sense for Cash, for Cash's character. But Carrie's telling me to get out there and do my thing. Carrie's telling me all of these things. He doesn't recognize any of that stuff that Carrie says until she physically says it.
She was surprised that Clark was spending the night. So she hadn't said to Cash at that point, I don't have a problem with it as far as we know. You know, like, I don't know. I just think that's really insensitive of any.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. But maybe I'll chalk it up to the wild and crazy thing, way you feel during Brand New Love.
I mean, that probably makes sense. I think that, I mean, given that Cash also, you know, went to take Carrie out for her big date as a YouTube hole, you know, that they fell into, like, I feel like it's on brand for him to not be sensitive to what Carrie desires or understands or whatever.
Yeah, that's fair. He is generally clueless.
Yeah. I thought that Cash and Clark were actually really, really good here. I had the same reaction you did regarding the, oh, you're gays. Or maybe she said, you gays, or something like that. And I was just like, and then they didn't just play it off. They just were like, yes, we are, in fact, the gays here. And they're like, yes, I do know how to make macarons. It reminded me of something that I've watched recently. I can't remember what it is, but it was like, oh, isn't that a little bit, it's a little bit discriminatory. Yes, thank you. That's a little discriminatory. Well, can you do that? Well, yeah, I can. Okay, well, there's a reason there's a stereotype there, right? There's a reason there's a stereotype because sometimes people do know how to do the things that the stereotypes indicate. I thought that was good. And then, although this is one of those situations where, like, Carrie, absolutely, as sensitive as she is to other people's feelings or whatever, like, I feel like that was slightly out of character for her to have a coming out party when you didn't know if it was actually internal and it was more like, well, I'm being forced to witness all this, so I'm going to make sure that everybody is aware of it. I did think that the line by Megan, though, well, he did just ask them all to star in a musical that he's writing, so I don't know how long your cat's going to stay in his fruity little bag. I was like,
gay cat. I don't know how much longer you expect the gay cat to stay in its pretty little bag.
There you go. So I was like, that's actually, as soon as he said musical, I was like, I mean, that makes sense because we know that Cash was writing a musical because he was looking for inspiration or whatever. I apologize for the very loud music that is outside my house.
I can't hear
it. Okay, well, that's great. Then maybe I'll just cut all this stuff out.
Megan had another fantastic line when she suggested Gregor should be the love interest, and she said, "Oh, are we forgetting about the frankly electric sexual tension between these two? Come on, it's classic enemies to lovers." And Gregor's like, "Yes, I could play the love interest." I was like, "Is he gay, or is he just like wants to have a starring role?"
Well, the fact that like I cannot stand Gregor, mm-hmm. But going back to what you're just saying, he did say, "I'm just here to make fun of whatever idea you have." And then he said, "Oh, I love musicals, so I'm in." I was like, okay, like maybe.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Maybe they're playing into the gay stereotype of, you know, the people who, you know, artsy people can be gay or are most likely gay or whatever the case is. But but what's the 3D printer guy's name?
Randall.
Randall. Like, he was just as irritating. I don't know if it's the look on his face, just a look on his dumb face, I don't know what it is, but he's
and
just,
the human pinata thing, that was vile.
That was horrible. Like, that was really, really bad.
I did enjoy the throwaway line, "Randall printed 3D printed a key."
Yeah.
he just let himself in the house.
How? Like, I don't see how you'd be able to print a key that you can't necessarily visualize, but yeah. Okay, whatever.
And like, he was shooting out candy? Are the kids going to eat his butt candy?
Apparently.
And it was gray? Oh, everything about that was disgusting.
That was, again, it's more fun to go back and talk about how bad it was.
But, like, oh my God. And he's like,
but
kids
in the
love
process,
it.
In the process, I was like, this is bad. Like, this is just bad. But yeah, so I did appreciate the fact that, Clark and I are a couple now. It's straight Clark, which is funny because you mentioned that last week or week before.
It was so funny.
What if one of them is, what maybe one in a million of us is?
It was so funny because I watched the episode right after we recorded and I was like, straight Clark, we were just, hey. I brought that up, and then to have it subverted again after that was really I was like kind of happy and kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, but that would have been an interesting storyline to pursue. And then I was like, oh, there's only two more episodes. So
yeah, I mean, the fact that he was like, oh no, ew, I just wanted to go out to a nice restaurant, you only use me for chores or a job or FaceTiming mom.
I mean, I like, he's got a point, like that's not a great life for Clark number two.
It very much reminded me of the Severance show, where they have their workies.
Yeah, their innies and outies. Yeah,
yeah. I need to go back and finish season one of that. But yeah, so they very. I was like, oh, that's actually a really good point. So I thought that that their relationship was nice and cute, and then I did enjoy the interaction with. I really don't like Randall. I really don't like Gregor. Gregor just, like, the actor oozes.
At least Gregor oozes, is like, gross. Funny. Randall is just gross.
Yeah, like, basically, Randall is the stereotypical man who desires to be a man's man. Right, it's the alpha male viewpoint. Oh, like right, I don't particularly care for it, but he's like the
He's not an alpha. Pyrotechnics. He's not a leader.
He's not.
He's not like a. He's not anything. He had that. Oh, you know what? I'll never forgive the female body inspector T-shirt. Apparently, and that he helped Cash, like, lie to Carrie and manipulate her at that party. I dislike Randall, but I actually find Gregor entertaining. Like, I could have Randall taken off the show and I'd be happy with that, but Gregor adds something really fun. Like, his competitiveness.
He adds a nemesis factor to Cash.
Yeah.
And the fact that it hasn't turned into anything beyond, you know, just mocking. It hasn't turned into a fight. It hasn't turned into anything except for, well, I know where the clitoris is.
Yeah. It's like, ridiculous. They're both ridiculous people. And the fact that they bother to compete with each other is like, do you not understand that, like, being better than each other is still a really low bar, you guys?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's the lowest bar you can have. Like if you were competing.
Aim higher.
As you said, I can appreciate some of the lines that Gregor had, and Randall just kind of creeps me out sometimes.
Yeah. But I love Magnet Girl. I want Magnet Girl in every
Megan's
episode.
Great. Yeah, I mean, and it's so good because they give her the choicest lines, the choicest. Like, every scene that she's in, even her facial expressions when Carrie is talking about, like, her and Ade are phenomenal in this.
Yeah.
And I think Ade had, like, three lines. And then the fact that Carrie, like, used the frying pan, I was like, is she going to hit her in that? Oh, no, she's using that as a leash.
Yeah.
It's a magnet leash. I thought it was really funny. But yeah, no, like, I enjoyed that scene and the fact that everybody was, like, oh, this is going to be the big thing. The gay presentation was very, very funny.
The cleanup was great when they were like, triage, what's the most
gay? What's the gayest thing here? And then, like, I'm on team gay, and then Carrie tucks her shirt in a little bit or pulls her pants up.
I don't know why she didn't just say she was gay, and then it would have been, you know what I mean? Like, that would have been the fastest way to cover that up and be like, it's for me.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, it turns out that I'm gay. It's weird.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that storyline. And I will say, and this kind of ties into a different one, I absolutely love the line, the recognition from Cash at the end of the episode. He sees Jen's face and he recognizes the facial expression. What did you do?
Yeah.
He's like, I've had that look on my face too many times. Yep. And someone has had to ask me, what did I do?
Yeah. Oh, God, Jen. I totally understand how that happened and why it happened. Like, you know, the therapist guy really sees her, right? Like, she's so vulnerable with him and he's been so supportive, and she has, you know, her father's dead and here's this older man who's being understanding and supportive. He is a creep. He's like, oh, you're the only one of my clients I'd want to spend time with outside of work. You're making such great progress. Look at your one shelf that's neat and tidy. There was a third thing he did that I was like, that is just unethical, like straight up unethical.
Well, I mean, the fact that he shared about another client.
Yeah. And that he likes her better because he's that other one's boring, which is what every chaos demon wants to hear, right? Is like, you're better than people whose lives are together and organized because you're fun and interesting and spontaneous. It was so unethical and gross of him to do it and take advantage of her in this moment of vulnerability. I do have a logistical question. Did they have sex mentally or physically? Like, did they have sex in her mind?
I don't know that they had sex. They may have.
She sure had I just had sex face.
Okay, well, I am not as familiar with the facial expressions of guilty people. I mean, maybe they did. But I would say just in her mind.
Okay.
Which is almost worse.
I mean, he was a participant because his power means it's really him in her mind. So either way, she was, you know, it's like Ross and Rachel, right? Like, she thought Jiz left her.
We're on a break.
And
yep.
They're on a break. Absolutely. And she sure moved on real fast.
Very specifically, we've talked about this. We've talked about the differences between guys and girls, right? She sought solace.
Yeah.
And instead of, like Carrie, going through a reasonably healthy version of going through a breakup, Jen went through the unhealthy version, which is to seek solace and replace.
Yeah.
How can I feel a way other than how I feel right now being rejected? And, you know, and I get it, but I completely agree with you. This is on George.
Yeah. No, like,
George
was so vulnerable. And he Absolutely. Just swooped right in there and took advantage of it.
I mean, and what's worse is that he let her come to him.
Yeah.
She initiated the kiss, and then he continued.
But he lured her in with all his, like...
No, absolutely.
Narcissistic, unethical behavior. I'm so mad at him. Listeners, I'm so mad I just spilled iced tea all over myself.
Not funny. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to laugh.
Well, the good thing is it's mostly water. It'll dry.
Okay.
What was I saying? Oh, George. Ugh. I looked up the actor's IMDb page, and of course I have since forgotten his name, but he works a lot. He had a really long IMDb page.
The actor who played George?
Yeah, I think he's doing a really good job of playing this kind of, like, suave scumbag that... You know, I've encountered that type in my life before. Like, I doubt she's the first client he's crossed the line with.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I mean, well, I say I agree just based on the fact that he has been doing this for however long. Like, I can't imagine that this is the first time he's ever been tempted.
Yeah.
Or,
and he had, like, a patter to it. You know? Mm-hmm. He's like, can you imagine a good scotch? Like, as Greg takes a swig of brown liquid, which I think is probably...
It's bourbon.
Close enough.
It's bourbon. Yeah, I had a little bit of... Had just a smidge, maybe a little bit more than a smidge, left in a bottle. So I was like, I'll just have this one rather than having to pour several. I appreciate the fact that, like, man, this is actually really cool that you could be able to do that. But would it have the same effect on you? Is it just for the taste? I don't know. None of it actually. I guess he could actually. He's in her mind, so he could have whatever feeling it is. Oh, that makes it even creepier. Ugh.
Yeah.
Blah.
It's
like that's closer to, like, mind control.
Everything about it is creepy. Oh yeah.
Okay, that was a lot.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that I feel like we've actually covered most of the stuff.
Yeah.
Like, we've talked about straight Clark, or possibly straight Clark. Do you have any okay, you know what? Hey, I've got a couple of notes that I do want to cover. All right. Covered that. Yeah, I've got my notes. I've got, in quotes, the gays, which I thought was funny. Carrie's I've channeled gay people all the time was very much, I've totally got black friends.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, oh boy,
yeah,
this is not good.
I don't think that was a subtle parallel, but it, the look on her face as she realized what she had said was hilarious, because it's not like channeling dead people is something that lots of people do and talk about in that way. It's utterly unique to her, but she had to process that it was a metaphor for, you know, or a parallel to, some of my best friends are black.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, she said it, I was like, and I'm reading subtitles, I was just like, oh, that doesn't play.
And then she's like, oh, I can't believe I said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she's like,
I
love men. And I love boys. And their boys. Like, she tries so hard to backpedal.
And their boys in turn. Yeah. Yeah, it was, she can't. I think we should all step back and assess ourselves and think about how we can treat each
other. Be more respectful.
Yeah, basically be more respectful. I was like, okay. Yeah. And then it just is like, all right. Oh, gross. What, is it because they're both boys?
Oh, I know what we haven't talked about. All right, my favorite moment in the whole episode is when Jizz and Jen arrive at the party and he's like, I have a plan. You know, fire? And Jen's like, no.
Nope.
We're not, no, we're not doing that. And he tries to wink at her and it's like he doesn't really
the fact that he was trying to wink
know so what he's funny. Doing it was such great physical comedy from Luke Rollison, and I missed it on first watch. I had to see it on the second one. I was like, oh god, that's so funny, because I was focused on the whole, oh my god, how is the petrol in the box? Is it just loose in there, or is there a container?
I imagine it's a gas can. Yeah, I mean, would be my guess. But that, I mean, I thought that I didn't catch it until second watch either. At least I didn't, like, consciously catch it until second watch. But yeah, him trying to wink, especially with, like, the other eye. Like, I know some people can only wink with one eye. And, like, I happen to be able to wink with both eyes. Like, see?
Me too.
But, so my point being is that I've watched people try to wink and they can't. They either blink or they can only wink one eye. And watching that was so funny. I completely agree with you. That was a great bit that I would say that 80% of people are going to miss.
Yeah.
Especially because they only watch it one time and they're thinking about setting the house on fire.
No.
And the repetitive, right? The repetitive, you know, fire.
No.
We're not doing that. No. Hold on. I've got a plan.
No.
Okay. What's your plan? We take the petrol and we set the house on fire. No. it was a classic double down.
Yeah.
I thought it was phenomenal. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And then when she hands the box to Nora, she's like, it's petrol. I kind of wanted the after credit or mid credit scene to be Nora like opening the box and being like, it really is petrol. Like, what the fuck?
So I'll be honest, I don't remember laughing this hard about an episode since season
1. Yeah, me too.
Because this was good.
This episode was so much better than the rest of the season so far.
Clark and Cash in bed together and nonces. I was like, I mean, that's kind of like on the nose, right? But it's intentionally on the nose.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like what you're talking about. It's like, oh, it goes past it, circles back around, and becomes funny again.
Yeah.
But then Clark's like, when I've dated someone like you, and I don't know that they're ready to, and he jazz hands it, make their debut. I was just like, that is a phenomenal line. I'm rewatching Schitt's Creek, and there's a similar situation in that show, and yeah, you know, it goes poorly, but it was, I thought that this was just like, and then the fact that like, everybody was like, oh yeah, no, we're totally cool with it. And they made it, just like Schitt's Creek, they made it into a nothing,
yeah.
Right? They made it into a,
yeah.
It has nothing to do with anything. As you mentioned, like, maybe it's a generational thing, but like, someone's sexuality is no longer a thing.
For most anymore. People.
Not no longer a thing.
You know, well, maybe not most people, but it is changing that for more and more people, it's just a non-issue, unless it's involving
right.
someone that you're in a relationship with or trying to be in a relationship with. Most people don't care about other people's sexuality. Like, it right. doesn't affect me, doesn't have anything to do with me, be with whoever you want. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I love that
yeah.
about nowadays. We have a whole bunch of other things to hate each other about, but that is something that it's become so much of a non-issue outside of certain specific groups.
Yeah.
I thought that the Madeline comment
with the organic bakery.
You know, the store-bought ones have sulfites. I was like, oh, come on, Karen. Like, and no offense to Karens out there.
I'm sorry, Karen, but Nora deserves friends like that. And I think
you're right.
That
you're
woman
right.
has had Nora do that to her.
I could totally see
so
that.
So she's yes, like, oh, the store-bought ones have sulfites. Like, it's my chance to dig one on Nora. Like, I think Nora had that coming.
And then the line, "No one wants your almond shit cakes." Oh, they're amazing. Oh, how about that? Oh, Jin knows how to do something. Don't get me wrong. I got the gays to do it for me. But,
hey, you know what? Skills take through alliance count just as much as skills you have.
You can absolutely take credit for that. I did want to take I did want to comment on the very poor teleporter.
Oh yeah.
That's not someone you don't want, a magician that's actually going to accidentally saw someone in half showing up at your kid's birthday party.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Oh my god, how bloody and disgusting that would have been. That's the kind of thing that would happen on like The Boys.
Yes,
not this show.
Very much so.
But that kid being like disappeared to some like dark industrial.
That's horrible. That's scary.
That was terrifying. Right? And that other kid. Who was the other kid?
Yeah. But no idea. That's not my son. Well, how about we figure out whose son it is and get it back to them, and then you can go on a hunt for your fucking kid.
Yeah.
And why are you still at the house later on when your kid is out there somewhere?
Yeah.
Why are you not interrogating the teleporter? Like,
where are the police? Yeah.
Yeah, literally anything.
Amber alert time. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, speaking of the teleporter, the teleportation, like, why would you not just teleport you back to your house? Like, your apartment? I guess Cash and Carrie were there, but, I mean, you didn't need to teleport yourself to upstairs. Like, if there was an empty bedroom, you just go find the fucking bedroom.
I was unclear on... I don't think they were teleported upstairs. I think they were teleported to like a hotel room or something.
I was wondering whose bed it was.
Yeah.
I honest to God was. I was like, whose bed are they?
Yeah, where are they?
Because they don't hear any. Yeah. Like, it seems odd. But then they maybe it was the dude's, the magician's bed. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Carrie, you are the least selfish person that I know. That's not a compliment. You know, say your truth.
Yeah, and that was Cash's that real hero was, moment.
Yeah. Let me see. What the hell did I write here? Oh, this is one of my favorite lines from Jizzlord. The choice is yours. Oh, the choice is mine. Oh my god, the choice is mine. Choice is mine. I hate agency. Take it back. I was like, I feel you, brother.
Yeah.
I feel you. When it comes down to, hey, I have to make it difficult. It's Sophie's choice. Well, in that case, I don't really want to have to be the one to make that choice.
Yeah,
because it's horrible.
It's terrifying. I remember recently I said, you know, when I was a kid, I thought when you're an adult, you get to make all the decisions. And now I realize that when you're an adult, you have to make all the decisions.
You have to make all the decisions. And then the last note that I have is the psycho catcalls. Of Nora and Jin trying to get Jizzlord to come to them.
Yeah, none of those were sounds I would make to call a cat.
And given you are a cat expert, given that Pixel has been with you for how long?
10 years.
So 10 years, like, so you know your cat.
Yeah, I've had cats my entire life. I've many cats, many many cats in my life, and
never made any.
I've never gone at them. Like what? That's not, it doesn't make them come. I'm very lucky. Pixel mostly comes to his name. He's a very good boy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good job, Pixel.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all of my notes.
Me too.
You have any notes?
Okay. No. I'm good.
All right. Well, hey, that's our show, everybody. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate it.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com.
And you can find links to our social media pages and other shows at podcastica.com or facebook.com/podcastica.
And please join the Podcastica Facebook group. We have a good time on there chatting back and forth about the shows that we love and about all the other, you know, podcasts that are on Podcastica, which, you know, I highly recommend. There's so many good ones. And right now, I have been really loving the Walking Dead rewatch on The Cast of Us. And Jonathan and Sam and I just put out our coverage of Shogun. And there is just so many more things to listen to. I haven't started Dead Boy Detectives yet, but that looks really interesting.
Yeah, that looks really interesting. And I mean, as you mentioned, Shogun, like I keep hearing what an amazing show that is. And then they just covered our, on the cast of us, they just covered 18 Miles Out. And 18 Miles Out was one of those, in my opinion, ones, the episodes you never forget.
Yeah.
And it like on the rewatch. And so it was such a breaking point in that, in the dynamic of those people. But I know that I know Jamie and Mark just started covering Sandman again for season 2. So check them out. And hopefully this will be out reasonably soon. Sorry about the big gap in stuff, but I should get one out tonight, add another one, and, you know, keep rolling. But
yeah, if you like what we do, please drop a rating. 5 stars is our favorite rating. Or leave a review or like or subscribe or follow or whatever. It really helps other listeners find us, and it makes me and Greg feel really happy.
Oh, yes. Next time on this show, we'll be covering season 2, episode 7, Be the Daddy You Want to See in the World. It seems really creepy after I said it, so my fault.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was hilarious.
All right. But for the time being, we leave you to ponder this.
Bumhole.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly.